Good morning to each of y'all. I'd like to greet you in Christ's name. It's a blessing to be here with y'all again. Camping trip's over and back at church Sunday morning. Thinking of what Ernie shared there and being thankful for friends and brethren and sisters to be around. It's a blessing. It's a blessing. And just yesterday there with the men and the boys and the memories that are made for our sons. And then we look at that sometimes, and I think also sometimes we forget that maybe the unsung heroes in it all is the mothers that clean up the mess when everybody gets home, because moms have ways of packing everything the little boys need, and then they happily clean up the mess when we come home, and they didn't get to do any of the camping. So God bless all of y'all. All right, for a message this morning, I'm going to be very blunt with y'all this morning. I did not want to preach this message. I had no desire to preach this message. God laid it on my heart for quite some time already, and I should have probably preached it a long time ago. And I for sure wasn't going to preach it this weekend because I was going to go on the camping trip and I was going to have an enjoyable time and I was going to go home and I was going to dig out a message I preached somewhere else and I was going to share that, and that's just not what happened. So be that as it may, God put this on my heart, and I've read the story of Jonah, and I thought to myself, if I don't preach this message, I ain't going in any water that's over ankle deep, and I'm sure going to be watching for whales. So here I am. Here I am. The title of the message is Relating to the Opposite Gender, and it's specifically living above reproach in this area. Kind of a touchy subject, isn't it? And some of y'all may classify me as very old-fashioned at the end of this message. Maybe I am. But we're going to talk about it anyway, and if you'll just bear with me, just let me stir your thinking on this. Even if you don't agree with me on everything, at least give it some thought. And if you don't like it, you are very free to tell me so after the service. You can critique it all you want to, and I won't be offended by it, just to get that very clear. So apparently God created male and female, and He did it in a way where we're attracted to each other, correct? And there's no shame in that. There's no shame in that. It's a God-given desire that's meant to be used for His honor and His glory. And it's been that way since the beginning of time. It is man and Satan has completely corrupted it. Especially in light of, they've corrupted it for years, but especially in recent years, it seems like the moral code of society has fell apart. And then along comes the gay and transgender movement, and it just muddles the water so much more. I used to think, and I don't know where I got this idea, that boys liked girls and girls didn't really care for boys. I probably got that idea as a, I don't know where I got that idea. And I thought, then you grow up and you get married and you figure out girls like boys as much as boys like girls. So, who knew? And I thought also that, you know, once you're married, and probably you won't even notice if any other women are beautiful, right? I don't know where I got that idea, but I'm a happily married man, and I still notice there's beautiful women. And I don't think there's any shame in that. Let's go on here. Like I say, it would be nice If I as a man could get married and then never have to notice another woman the rest of my life. Wouldn't that be nice? Wouldn't that keep me out of a lot of trouble? Unfortunately, that's not how it is. So the message this morning is for everybody, but maybe specifically for us married men, and possibly even more so for in relating to people of the opposite gender from us within a 15 to 20 year age span of our own age. Does that make sense? Some people think that since I have these attractions, after I'm married, I can never talk to somebody of the, this is an extreme, but you kind of get the idea that they can never, they get the idea they can never talk to anybody of the opposite sex and have a conversation with them because it may cause them to fall into sin. And the other side of it is they look around at society around them and they think, society has changed. I can go to lunch with whoever I want to all by myself. I can whatever. It's completely different world than it used to be in the 50s. And obviously the setting we grew up in will have an impact on how we look at some of these things. I'm going to start by reading out of Ephesians 5. Let's read Ephesians 5. Let's read 1 through 5. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. But fornication and all uncleanliness, covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this ye know, that no warmonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Verse 1, he starts by telling us to be followers of God as dear children. Sounds like a good idea, don't it? Now, how do we do this? He starts to answer this question in verse 2. Walk in love, and that love is an agape love from God. Not love of anything in mind for personal benefit, just love that has the other person's best interest in mind. And then he starts to give us something to aim for and something we can do in verse 3. All fornication, all uncleanliness or covetousness, that it should not once be named among you. That's a pretty tall order. That's a pretty tall order for us humans to try to follow. Not named once among us. And then he goes on to say, as becometh saints. Let me get my eye on it. And then at the end of verse 4, I also find it interesting that he threw in, but rather the giving of thanks. What's thankful got to do with this? Maybe it's got a lot more to do with it than what we think sometimes. So how do we, and I realize I'm standing up here as a man talking to y'all, so I tend to look at these things from a man's perspective. But how do we in today's world live lives like this? And I know last Sunday, Lyndon Beachy had a very inspiring message, and I very much appreciated that message. But let's go back for a little bit. Let's go back 70 some odd years and look at how America looked and how different it is today. So you go back to the 1950s. It was a radically different society than where we find ourselves in 2023. Family life was way different. Almost all women, if they were married and had children, were at home with the children during the day. That was just the way it was. Dad went to work, mom took care of the house, and then along came the women's lib movement. And there were some things that should have probably been changed and that was good that got changed. But like anything that brings any change that comes, it can be used in a wrong way. And then along came World War II and the need for labor, and a lot of the women entered the workforce. And along with this women lib movement also came the push for women to go to work every day. Now, there were women in the workforce all along. There always have been to a certain extent. It just wasn't nearly like it came at that time. Somebody pushed the wrong button somewhere. there was always women, there had been women in the workforce, but a lot of them were younger women that worked as secretaries until they got married. There were bankers, there was teacher, that type of thing. And along came this push for women to do anything that a man can do. And now today we have women in nearly any type of jobs out there. And so what happens is, and by the way, you women, y'all are very capable of doing nearly anything us men do. Y'all have proved that by now. I remember years ago as I was in my teens and I was with some of my friends in town. We went to one of these batting cages where the machine throws the ball and you hit it. And we were having fun because you could hit the ball and you wouldn't have to run after it, you know. But you can speed these things up. And so we were having fun hitting these slow pitches, and so we kept turning it faster and faster until we had it where it was throwing baseball-style balls. And we couldn't hit them. We didn't grow up playing baseball. We played softball, so we couldn't hit these things. But we were having fun anyway. And along comes a very pregnant lady, and she started batting in the next cage over. And she'd obviously played a lot of fastball in her life, and she could hit those balls way better than we could. It was so embarrassing, we just kind of slunk away. But so y'all have proved y'all are good at doing things as men can do. In fact, you're probably better at a lot of things than we are. But here, be that story as it may, I just wanted to make the point, y'all are capable. Y'all are capable of doing a lot of things we men do. Back to this thing of women joining the workforce. So what happens now is you have women, capable women joining the workforce. So what happens when a lady goes out to work or to town? You get cleaned up, right? No duh. I don't blame you. But you go to work, you're dressed up, you look good, you work with these men. Come time to go home for us, for the men, and guess what? They go home to work from work to a house, to their wife that watched the children all day. She's probably tired. She's worn out. She didn't go out and about that day. She might have just, why do you dress up if you just stay at house? And so you have these men that go to work. They're with these women all day, these professional women, and then they go home and to their wife, and they become discontent. And that, it's part of the thing that started wrecking American society in my mind. So now here we are in 2023, and over half the workforce is female, and then we can't figure out why divorce rates are sky high. Right? Sometimes I wonder why America can't understand some of these things. Let's talk about what's become known as the Billy Graham model. It's called the Modesto Manifesto. Kind of a nice sounding name, isn't it? There was other men that had used it, but I think Billy Graham was the first one that really put it into words. So him and his, there was three others, it was four of them all together, met at a hotel. And it was right at the beginning of his career as an evangelist. And they came up with 4 points that they seen other men making mistakes in. And they said, we're not going to go down that path. And it had to do with money, how to handle money and not be a preacher for money. It had to do with crowd sizes and making sure they didn't hype the numbers just to make themselves look good. There was another one. Oh, working with their local church. But the main one was, and the one that draws the most criticism today, is the fact that they pledge to never meet with a lady other than their wife alone, whether that's riding in a car, whether that's in a restaurant, And if their wife wasn't along, they would not meet alone with another lady. And there's some famous people today that have adopted this, Mike Pence being one of them. And if y'all remember right, he drew a lot of criticism for adopting this in his life. He wouldn't ride in an elevator with a woman by himself. He would never go even on a lunch in a restaurant with a lady, unless his wife was along or somebody else, he would not meet with them alone. Now let me ask you this. Any of y'all that are my age or older, does the name Monica Lewinsky ring a bell? Or Stormy Daniels? You know what I mean? There's men out there that have not adopted this, and I'm not saying that I don't want to judge them in any way, but had they put some practices in their life like this, they would have never had some of the troubles in their life that they had. So Mike Pence got a lot of flack, if you want to call it that, for adopting this, but I still think he faced a lot less troubles because he was, even though it's awkward at times and it's not always the most convenient, this is what he's going to do and he's not backing down. He had a lot less drama in his life because he was willing to put this in place. And you and I aren't foolish to consider some of these things. I'm not a famous person, so who's going to try to make up a story about me, right? But we're still wise to think about some of these things. And there's a lot of areas that I've wondered about already. Like, what do you do when you find a lady stranded beside the road by myself? What's the right thing to do? Colossians 1:22, let's turn to that. Where we get the idea of living above reproach. It just kind of breaks in there. Now let's start reading in verse 21. And you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy, unblameable, and unreprovable in his sight. You know, I think the first step to protecting ourselves, if you want to call it that, is to actually live a godly life with others' best interest in mind. That is the first step. And right after that, we can put some practices in place that others who are observing us have no reason to doubt us, especially in this particular area. Maybe y'all can think I'm off my rocker here, but if I'm on the job and it's just me and the lady of the house, and she's anywhere within 15 to 20 years of my age, I would not enter that house unless I absolutely had to. My job is outside, so I can do my job. I can collect my paycheck at the end of it on the porch or in the truck while I wait. I just wouldn't go into the house. Why open yourself up to whatever people want to think? Back to a thing of if a lady's stranded beside the road, what should I as a man do? You know, I don't know that I have the answer for that. I do know if my wife's stranded out in the middle of a hot desert and one of you men come along and she's alone, please rescue her. You know what I mean? You don't just let her sit there. But I think we need to be very hesitant to just happily offer a lady that's not a relative of ours a ride across town just because it's convenient or because of whatever. Take your child with you if at all possible. Take a second person with you if at all possible. It completely changes the tone in the car, the conversation, if you have a child in the back seat or anybody else in the back seat. Once again, if it's your daughter, your cousin, your mom, your aunt, your 80-year-old neighbor, it's totally different than if it's somebody within that 15 to 20-year age bracket of yourself. Something else we can do, And I've never done this, but I've thought to myself, it's something we could do. Most of us carry a smartphone in our pocket. If you have to take somebody across town, you could record it. You could at least get an audio of it. Live above reproach in these things. We live in a wild world nowadays, and who knows when it may be as much for your protection as somebody else's. If you're in an office setting and you need to have a meeting with somebody who works for you or a lady, take your wife, arrange for your wife to be there if the door needs to be closed. And if that doesn't work, leave the door open. Rather, some sensitive information get overheard somewhere else than to leave any questions in other people's minds about some of these things. There is a young man who, through a bizarre set of circumstances several years ago, ended up staying at our house for a couple of nights. And I did not know this young man before. And in visiting with him, he was a nice young man. But he stayed at our house through a Sunday evening, and circumstances were I had to leave for work early on Monday morning at like 5:30. And I told this young man, I said, I mean nothing against you, I trust you, but when I leave the house at 5:30, you're going to leave the house at 5:30 too. I'm not going to have a man staying in my house with my wife and children alone while I'm gone. No judgment against you, but it's just not the way it's going to be. And I didn't know what he'd say, but you know what, that young man understood. And he said, when you're up at 5:30, I will be too, and I will leave. And he was. 5:30 the next morning, he had his bags in his hand, and he was going out the door. And I know he wasn't planning on leaving that early before. But he understood, and I've always appreciated that about him. Today, I trust him more because of him understanding that. I observed some people in our community sometime, and once again, it's between them and God. I don't want to judge them in any way, shape, or form, but I see them and I know them both. I know that they're both married people, and I know they're not married to each other. They ride around town together. They go to lunch together. They go everywhere together. They work, they're co-workers. And that's between them, but let's just say it this way. If the question ever came up, if there was anything going on between them, they're not living above reproach in a way that it would be, I could automatically in my mind say, no, that's not happening. Do you follow what I'm saying? I don't think there's anything happening or anything like that, but I'm just saying if the question never came up, it would not be an unbelievable story because of the way they live their everyday lives. Right after 9/11, that was a heartbreaking time for the country, and it was a heartbreaking time for a bunch of women, now widows, that lost their firefighter husbands in the trade towers. And New York City came up with the idea, and they did it of all best intentions. I don't think they had anything bad in mind when they did this, but they came up with the idea that for every widow, they would assign a firefighter to be her emotional support. Now, can you imagine what happened over that time? And y'all have probably read these articles before, but you have an emotionally distressed lady going through a tough time, and here comes a big, strong man that was a lot like her former husband to help her through this time. There was a massive, I shouldn't say a massive, there was plenty of stories over that time of men divorcing their wives, marrying women that were very similar to their wives in the same age bracket, and we can understand why, can't we? New York would have been much smarter if they would have at least sent a firefighter and his wife along to be the counselors in this emotional time. I see sometimes people trying to be counselors to somebody of the opposite gender by themselves, and I have never seen it work well. Never seen it work well. Put practices in place where you don't put yourself in those shoes. What about evangelizing? Evangelizing's good, right? But like anything, there's a wrong way to do a right thing. I am just not, I have already had men hired that I'd, companies we'd hired that sent a man to the house to do a job while I was gone. And the man tries to, he wants to pray with my wife and hold her hand while I'm out of the house. No, thank you. You can, if you want to tell me that you will pray for me after you're at home that night, or if I'm there and you want to pray with us, that's fine. But we men, that is not the time to try to evangelize to somebody when we're alone with a lady. And take somebody with you. There's too much room for, yeah, there's too much room for error in that. I don't think a man, an alone man and an alone woman should try to be an evangelist to each other from either side. I just don't think that's the right time. There's other ways to do it. Even though evangelizing is what we're called to do, even though it's one of the most noble things we can do to talk to others and pray with them about, talk to them about Christ, that's all noble, that's all right, and that's all good, but we need to be wise in how we do it. Giving honor as unto the weaker vessel. Now, I know that verse is talking about husband and wife, but I don't think it's, and maybe I'm pulling out of the context a little, but I think we can treat all women, us talking to us men now, we can treat women with respect as the weaker vessel. And we need to, we need to be very wise in how we go about this. That we can be way too forward, way too quick sometimes. I mean, look, when we're talking to women, we can look them in the eye. There's no shame in looking a woman in the eye when you're talking to her. We used to have a little boy that stayed at our house sometimes. He stayed with his grandma. And I remember one of the things his grandma was very hard on him for, it seemed overly hard on him, but looking back, I think she was right, is that when you talk to somebody, you look them in the eye. Don't be shifty and looking down at your feet, and just look somebody in the eye and talk to them, male or female. Some of us men, whether we do it on purpose or not, stand way too close when we talk. Give a little bit of space. In the old days, when a man met a lady, he took his hat off. And I think that practice kind of got lost when women in society quit wearing hats. But it seems like a respectful thing to do. When you meet a lady, take your hat off. We've lost that, and I'm not saying we necessarily need to bring that back, but be respectful. Another practice, and this one y'all might really think I'm off my rocker on, is a man used to, when he met a lady after church, in society, wherever, a man would never be the first one to extend their hand for a handshake. And in fact, Queen Elizabeth, that was one of the most offensive things you could do to her as a person, was to be the, as a man, to be the first one to extend your hand. That was one of the biggest no-nos you could do. And I kind of like that, actually. I know if I'm out on the job or wherever, I much prefer if the lady is the first one to extend her hand. In fact, a lot of times I won't shake a lady's hand. I have this in the back of my head. And some of it is because women are under no obligation, I don't believe, to shake hands with men. I don't think you are necessarily. I think it's nothing, no shame in it, but I don't think you're under any obligation. And some of that is, some men have crushing grips. You know what I mean? Be gentle. But more than that is, a woman is under no, she's, if she's a married lady, she has no obligation of any kind, even so much as shaking another man's hand, if she don't want to. Now, I know society has changed in this, and I don't know how to put all this together in my mind sometimes. I know society has shifted and it's not like that anymore, and I'm not trying to bring that back necessarily. But it's just something to think about. I read an article of a, I think it was wrote by a salesman. I don't even remember where I read it. I couldn't find it. But he was very aggravated that he was a car salesman trying to sell a car on a lot. And a lady came to look at it, and she refused to shake his hand, partly because of this very thing I was talking about. And it really aggravated him. And I kind of agreed with the lady. I mean, if she don't want to, she don't have to. Old-fashioned or not. All right, so talking to you ladies for just a little bit, what's a lady's responsibility in today's world? Three words came to my mind: reserved, modest, and friendly. There's a large variety of personalities I've noticed among ladies already. I can show up to a complete stranger's house, and sometimes it's a very bubbly, outgoing woman that comes out and shows me where the building goes or whatever. And sometimes it's a very skeptical, you hear the door unlock and they barely want to, they kind of point where they want you to go and the door closes and it locks again. That doesn't really build confidence in my mind. But anyway, it's not fun for me to go somewhere like that. Y'all asked me to come out here. So now come tell me how to do my job, and I will try to be very respectful and everything like that. But I at least need to know what to do. So go show. If a man comes to your door and needs to do the job, whatever it is you hired him to do, be friendly and be courteous. But you're not necessarily obligated to offer him a drink. You're not obligated to offer him a meal by any means. If he doesn't have to come in the house to do his job, you don't have to offer him to come in the house if it's hot or cold. You just don't have to. And you're certainly not obligated, as I said before, to get in some deep spiritual discussion with a man. Right then and there is probably for sure not the time. I had a man come to my house one time, and I don't, he didn't have any evil intentions at all, I don't think, but he was talking to my wife about a mission that's very near and dear to our own heart. And my wife messaged me and said, should I give him some money for their mission thing? And I said, no. We hired this man to come do a job. If he needs to do his job and get out of my house. Now, if I had been home, I'd have been happy to give the man some money. If it would have been a woman there doing the job talking to my wife about it, I'd have had no issue with it. It wasn't that I didn't want to donate to his mission needs. It was, you're in my house to do a job. Do it quickly, respectfully, and then move on. You don't need to be in my house alone with my wife and boys more than necessary. And if a man comes, you can, there's no shame in kindly thanking him for a job well done, but you don't need to be overly thankful, if you know what I mean. We men can be imaginative people, and too much praise might cause us to think you have other motives than just gratitude for a job well done. Something else that I find very awkward sometimes when I'm talking to women on the job, and that is when y'all, and this is none, I've not heard any of y'all do this, I'm talking about women out in society, but when y'all talk to me degradingly about your husband, what am I supposed to do with that? You know what I mean? Never talk to another man degradingly about your husband, because it leaves us in a very awkward spot. If I agree with her, I'm promptly taking her side, and if I disagree with her, then I'm on the opposite side, and I'm here supposed to be doing a job for you. You know what I mean? Just, yeah, there, nothing good comes out of degrading your husband to other men. And there's plenty of women that are more than willing to do that if they get the opportunity. All right, I'm going to close here. Proverbs, let's read in Proverbs 4. Proverbs 4, we're going to read, 20 through 27. Just listen. There's some wisdom in here if you just listen for it. My son, attend to my words, incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes, keep them in the midst of thine heart, for they are life unto those that find them and health to all their flesh. Verse 23 is what I really wanted. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Put away from thee a froward mouth, and perverse lips put far from thee. Let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand, nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. That word heart there in verse 23, it also means feelings. Protect your feelings. Watch your feelings and put measures in place to protect yourself against them. Be aware of how you look to others around you, and be willing to maybe make it just a little bit awkward on erring on the side of safety rather than doing things that are cause for suspicion. God bless y'all and give you direction and wisdom to men and to women in this area. I have no desire to come up here and say anything that may cause somebody to doubt anything that's happened in the past or anything like that, but just think sometimes about how we look to society around us, and don't do these things to just look good. Put practices in place that protect us against what we know we're bent to do sometimes. God bless us and give us all wisdom in this area. Let's kneel for prayer.